standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Chris O'Brien is our co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. And we decided that we liked the Yeti microphone so much with THX certified audio that we were going to use it again this week. Or at least I am going to use it. Chris is using what kind of microphone?
Audio Technica.
Okay.
It's a singer's mic.
Oh, okay. You're not going to sing, though, are you?
No, but you sound marvelous.
Thank you. Thank you. I resemble that remark. But seriously speaking, you know, we don't get together too often. As a matter of fact, our network, GCN, asked for a picture of you and I. And I said, there is no such picture. No, because we don't really get together that often. I think you and I have met a total of once with that interview we did with Antonio Junius at my studio. And then during the International UFO Conference, we got together a couple of times. That's it.
We missed our chance. We could have had a picture taken 2 days ago. We missed our chance.
I don't cast a reflection. I'm sorry. My kind of person, we don't cast a reflection. I want to tell you something really good happened this week. You know, there is a UFO discussion newsletter that's out there called UFO Updates. UFO Updates Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
And it's run by a guy who runs a talk show about the paranormal, name of Errol Bruce Knapp. And he closed off the thread on abductions. And I'm going to read
about
this.
About time.
Oh, yeah. And he
I
said,
went through and waded through all those, Gene. I admire your patience.
As has happened over this list's history, there have been times to close discussions on a few threads. We have reached yet another with those dealing with Hopkins, Jacobs, and Woods. Until such time as new information surfaces, no further submissions dealing with the various Hopkins, Jacobs, and Woods threads will be posted.
You're slamming the door.
Thank heavens.
Well, or shutting it firmly.
Well, it depends. Don't let the door strike you on the way out. I think that's what they said. It really got to be a little excessive. I think the problem is with UFO abductions in general is there's a real problem there, a real mystery that we need to resolve. We have to decide, is ET involved in at least some cases, mental processes, people having unusual experiences with an external source, internal source, a combination, a lot of problems there. But if all we're debating is whether Bud Hopkins' ex-wife likes him or not, or his research methods, or some woman in New Zealand is complaining because she submitted to investigation by Dr. David Jacobs, she feels he didn't treat her correctly. And I don't know whether he did or not. But that is not the be-all and end-all of UFO abductions.
I don't think there's any winners here. It's a tawdry affair, and I think... once again, sheds light on the inadequacies of the abduction researching protocols that should be in place and aren't. So,
well, one thing here is that we did have a fascinating overview of the abduction scenario when we had Kathleen Mart on last week's episode, and that was done direct from the International UFO Congress. And the one thing I noticed, I was only there a short time just to do the interviews with you and maybe wander around a little bit. I didn't have the time to basically spend 3 days there. I haven't done the 3 day at a UFO convention thing for quite a long time. But you're telling me they had quite a big attendance there.
Yeah, I have a personal fondness for the heyday of the Eureka Springs Lou Farish conferences in the mid-90s. That's where I really cut my teeth, met a lot of my researcher friends who I've been in fairly close contact now with over the years. And other than the Eureka Springs conventions there, I really felt this was the best UFO convention, or in this case, Congress, I've ever attended. John Rayo and the Open Minds team did just an amazing job, for organizing and pulling off their very first Congress. I was very, very impressed with the professionalism, the lineup of speakers, with one or two exceptions, and just the general buzz that seemed to be permeating the place. It was just amazingly attended. I mean, they sold out. I mean, they had over 1,500 people. I went to the sushi bar one night, and they were out of rice. I went to the bar. They had no draft beer. So I think the Fort McDowell Resort and Casino is going to have to ratchet up their buying there for the next one.
You know what? They'll get greedy. They'll raise the rates.
Well, probably. But evidently, from what I understand, Open Minds has signed a contract for 5 years. So this is the first of hopefully quite a number of congresses that will be held there.
You were saying attendance is about 1,500, and normally you get a few hundred at a UFO convention. A lot of times you get less than a few hundred, and most people who sponsor UFO conventions, myself included, I did that a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Most of the people who do this crazy thing, they lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. It's not a question, you know, saying, oh, they're just in for the money. But if you're shelling out thousands of dollars to rent space at a hotel, to pay travel expenses, maybe fees for speakers, you deserve to at least get a return on that investment and maybe have a few dollars for your time, even if it's that minimum wage.
Yeah. And they did have a lot of volunteers, I think, which helped. You know, in terms of the total amount of overhead that they needed to deal with, myself included, I guess I was volunteered. I was wearing so many hats there, my head was spinning.
Thank God, you have that one hat you always wear.
No, I wore about three different hats, actually. Physically,
they all look the same. What kind of hat is that? Is that borrowed from Indiana Jones or what?
No, it's called a casino-style hat. It's a... Rosemary Ellen Guiley called it the Shadow Man hat. It's very similar to the fedora-wearing Shadow Man. But it's part of my costume. I've been wearing a hat like that for many years. I use it to stand out, you know, from the crowd. I don't think there's... Jim Morris has his little fedora, but I'm proud of my hat. I just bought a new hat band for it and on the Navajo Reservation, and I wear it proudly.
You're shown clean-shaven on our site.
Correct.
But the real you today is the beard.
Well, I do have a goatee and a mustache, which is a recent addition to my costume. But I had somebody mention to me at the MUFON meeting I stopped in and said hello at last week prior to the convention. I stopped in and said hello, and somebody said, every time I see you, you look totally different. I guess that's a compliment.
Well, I haven't changed in 400 years. I understand there's an app for that.
There probably is by now.
There's an app for everything else. There was an app we mentioned, I think, a few weeks ago, an app for investigation of strange audio sounds from the spirit world, all sorts of apps. But you know what? Let's segue, because that's why we're here. We have John Alexander joining us.
Oh, boy.
And is he a colonel? Is he a doctor? Is he both?
Yes, he's both. He's a retired lieutenant colonel, and he has a PhD. We're going to have to double-check with him on this, but I believe his PhD from Warren College, I believe, is in thanatology, which is the study of death.
Whoa.
What a perfect degree to have when you're in charge of development of non-lethal weapons technology. I guess you really have to know about death to be able to design weapons that don't kill people.
Well, I was thinking that he was not a technical advisor to the movie Flatliners. Do you remember that movie?
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
It's where Julia Roberts met Kiefer Sutherland. Right?
That's right, and they all tried to kill themselves and hopefully remember things in the afterlife that they could bring forth and then resurrect themselves. And, of course, as with any movie, at least one person dies during this encounter. But that has nothing to do with John Alexander, except for the fact that he has an interesting book out now called UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. And I want to know more about this, especially
the latter.
We're
going to find out a lot more about it. It's a very fascinating read, and I do recommend it. I'm telling you, everybody, if you're getting a little cynical and jaded like I am after 20 years in this field, I think you'll appreciate an insider's view of many of the myths and conspiracies that are said to exist within this realm. He does do a very good job of pointing out, I think, in many cases, the obvious. And I do highly recommend this book. I think it's an absolute must addition to your library.
Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Don't Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-804-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-804-MY-TV. 1-877-804-MY-TV.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Alex has told you that the Mideast uprisings over food prices and shortages caused by fuel costs are spreading worldwide. We're seeing the impact right here in the United States. Ethanol that was supposed to reduce petroleum use and fuel prices hit a 30-month high in February, and pump prices are expected to reach $5 a gallon. Because of shipping costs, food is being priced out of the reach of millions of Americans with an expected 35% jump in the next 60 days. Move quickly while you can still afford it, and eFoods Direct will pay your shipping costs for you. For the best-tasting, long-term storable food, you pay nothing for shipping and can put every dollar into food at today's prices. eFoods Direct, food so delicious you can serve it tonight or save it for the future. Take advantage of free shipping by calling 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
We're in the Paracast with Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. Joining us for the rest of the show, Dr. John Alexander. He's author of a new book in hardcover. You know, we don't see many hardcovers anymore, called UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. Now, Dr. Alexander, welcome to the PowerCast. And I guess the big question I would have is, why does somebody with all your credentials, how do you get caught up in the UFO mystery?
Well, I'm a masochist. I want to get beat up. Then I come out and play with these folks. As I say, this is kind of a no-win situation, because one of the things I mentioned early on is you better understand conspiracy theory. You know, if you either believe there's a conspiracy, or if you deny it, you're part of the cover-up.
I love the story in your book about the little woman at the ConspiracyCon conference, you know, freaking out, pointing at you and saying, "It's him. He's the one that was on the ship that abducted me."
Yeah, there are no limits. No, I actually, the original question, I've been interested in the topic since 1947. And, I'm old enough to actually remember those incidents and having reported on them through our little school radio program at the time.
So Kenneth Arnold, huh? Made your little school radio station. That's interesting.
When I say little, we're talking about La Crosse, Wisconsin, so this was really small.
Okay, so you read about the subject as a kid. Did you spend much time on it before you started doing intensive research?
I followed the field for decades. Certainly was a MUFON member and all of those sorts of things. Read articles, books, all of the usual suspects. Eventually got more deeply involved when I was actually on active duty. We thought there was probably some black program someplace, like most of your listening audience would believe. And so I put together a group of people that came from all of the services, most of the agencies you know about and some that you don't, and aerospace industry, all of whom
don't,
had
excuse me, sir. Some that you don't. Explain that, please.
I'm sorry?
When you mention agencies that we know and some that we don't know, what do you mean?
Well, there were some that were not public certainly at that time. And so anyway, we were interested. The people had to come. It was literally an old boy nut. Have the right clearance, have interest, and we started having a few plenary sessions to discuss what people knew. And what we found out basically is they knew the same rumors that everybody else knew in the, in the field, and certainly all the civilian sector. We also found out, as I went around, everybody was more interested in what other agencies might be doing than the phenomenon itself. Because, as you know, in Washington, information is power. And so you don't want to be left behind.
Explain why you named it the Advanced Theoretical Physics Group. I think this is an interesting point of note.
Yeah, well, at that time, we're talking early 80s. Of course, FOIAs were hot and heavy. And so what we decided to do was to name it something that if a FOIA came in for UFOs, would not be associated with it. Now, the other thing we did was there were not supposed to be any written records. Few people, it turns out, had violated that, but there weren't any minutes of the meetings. There were nothing going out announcing the meeting, so if anybody came in asking about it, we could literally say it doesn't exist, or there are no written records.
Well, I've always wondered, and this is something that's puzzled me over the years. I think I mentioned to you when we initially talked to have you on the show that I kind of misstated and said I've been following your career for years, and you chuckled, and I kind of recorrected myself and said I would have loved to follow your career for years. You're quite an enigmatic person in this field. And one of the things that's enigmatic about you is your doctoral studies with Elizabeth Kubler Ross and the field of thanatology. Why did you choose this particular area of study, and would you care to discuss your motivations there?
Well, some of that was serendipity. I had done a lot of work in a wide variety of behavioral science. Anyway, and I was getting ready to do a dissertation. I was interested in near-death studies. Had studied on, looked at, you know, the near-death studies for a long, long time. And actually, I think there's, you know, some crossover between NDEs and UFOs and all of these things, as people have heard me say. But what happened was the final thing, I was in my office in Atlanta at Fort McPherson there, and I get a call one day that said, Elizabeth is going to be coming through Atlanta Airport, and in those days you could go out, you know, to the gate and those things. She has several hours and wondered if you could meet her. And, of course, I said yes. And so the next day I went to the airport and met her, and she said, you know, of all the people I know in Atlanta, I chose you to call, and I have no idea why. And so I said, I think I'm supposed to ask you a question. And it was, you know, would she head the committee? She says, oh, yes.
So she was your doctoral thesis advisor for your...
Yeah,
your,
she was the head of the actual head of the committee, yes. I mean, there were other people on it. And what I ended up doing the dissertation on was looking at changes in spirituality in people who attended her life, death, and transition workshop. She was an amazing woman. You know, she's the one who brought hospice to the U.S., but also had a series of incidents that were just totally unexplainable. I might mention the one thing that she really mentioned that caused a change. I had used the word religiousness in the proposal, and because there's a lot of information available about religiousness per se, so you had a lot of quotes. And she said, no, you have to change it to spirituality. And what we found was that there's a lot of people, even if not asked, when you say, do you consider yourself to be religious, will say, no, but I think I'm a spiritual being. And they actively say, I reject the dogma of the church, but I think we have a relationship with higher beings and that sort of thing.
Well, did this field of study and your intense interest in this subject lead to your first major position after retiring from the military, which was at the Los Alamos lab, where you were involved in developing the whole concept of non-lethal weapons technology? I find the interesting, it's kind of a conundrum. You're studying near-death experiences and actual what happens when the soul transits from this mortal coil, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the non-lethal weapons development game.
I'll tell you what, we'll have to get into the non-lethal developments game and lots more coming up. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Dr. John Alexander, author of UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities, and we'll have to find out what all of those signify. I'm Gene Steinberg. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. You're in the Paracast. So the question on the table, Dr. Alexander, about non-lethal weapons, etc. What's your answer?
Yeah, well, what had happened was that I had retired from the military in 88. The number of serendipitous incidents that occurred just can't be enumerated, just one after another. I was actually going to go to work for one of the major defense contractors, ended up at Los Alamos National Laboratory instead, was looking at what was going on in the world. And at that time, we had the invasion of Panama, Grenada had come along, things going on eventually in Somalia, and just said, you know, we've kind of geared up for World War III. Major tank battles and those sorts of things, and yet the kinds of actions we're being engaged in really require minimal levels of force. For instance, in Panama, these were longtime allies. Our argument was with Noriega and a few of his henchmen, but certainly not the Panamanian people. How do you apply force in a very constrained way? Because at the end of the day, you wanted them to be friendly. And you have, you know, big families with long memories, so killing folks is not very practical. So I was looking at the conundrum of between doing nothing and doing too much, and what kinds of things could allow us to do that.
Well, where is the state of the art in this particular type of weaponry? You don't hear much about about non-lethal weapons being deployed. Occasionally you'll see a brief little piece that'll show some sort of sonic cannon or sticky glue or weapons of fire nets, that sort of thing. But are these types of weaponry, is it being deployed currently?
Well, yes. You know, that just says more about what is being read about and written about than, as you said, the state of the art. What emerged, we held some studies. I was with studying with the Council on Foreign Relations. It was able to bring in John Deutsch, who was then the Undersecretary of Defense. This was in the mid-90s, and said, look, military needs to get much more involved. And this led to the creation of the Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Directorate under the Marines, and it's still up and running at Quantico. Lots of evaluations and testing and R&D going on and actual fielding. Many of the units in the field, if you remember the Balkans, went into Iraq, some in Afghanistan, but you actually have whole non-lethal weapons packages that are deployed with units now under the, you know, the right set of circumstances.
Right, of course, and as everybody probably guesses, the ubiquitous taser, of course, is one that is most visible. I think many law enforcement officials, park rangers for the federal government, are routinely armed with this particular type of non-lethal weapons technology.
Well, no. In fact, I went to see Rick Smith, who's the president of Taser and happened to have been there in Scottsdale. They're a growth company. One of the things I say, and I'm willing to go to the mat on this, but Taser has never killed anybody despite all of the noise to the contrary. And it's a very, very effective weapon. They're working on some things now that we were discussing to increase the range. One of the problems with Taser from a military perspective is you've got to be very close. They've got about a 30-foot range with the extended range on it. And one of the questions that came up early on from the troops and all non-lethal weapons is it better than a rock? So they would like things that allow them to, be able to stay outside of rock throwing distance, and some of those are coming.
Well, this kind of dovetails into the whole idea of psychotronic weapons. How much work did you do in developing weapons that were geared more towards the mental battlefield as opposed to weapons that are more of a physical nature?
Sure. Zero.
Zero. Okay. Well, one term that you hear bannered about among this conspiracy crowd is the idea of psychotronic weapons platform. I must admit, I've used this term before as well. I know that the PSYOPs portion of the military is one that is fairly hidden and isn't talked about much publicly. But what is your knowledge about the state of the art for influencing the mind at a distance, as opposed to, you know, some sort of more physical type of process?
I'm not sure how to address the question. Now, if you're talking about literally the mind control stuff, and what is classic psychotronic weapons, the answer is real simple: zero. You know, just not an area that they're going into. If you talk about influence operations, meaning what's happening in information warfare, then you're on a huge, huge scale. And
right.
I would argue that most of the what they call PSYOPs, which would be psychological operations, is pretty much in the open. And they would argue quite strongly against using black and what's known as black and gray PSYOPs, because the utility is limited, and sooner or later you get caught, and the implications are usually worse than having told the truth to begin with.
Well, that's interesting. That's an unexpected reply, I would think, that we would
have.
By
the way, I also was trained in antiquity as a psychological operations officer, something people point out from time to time in the conspiracy realm. But,
the answer was... Are you a disinformation specialist, Dr. Alexander?
I'm sorry?
Does that make you a disinformation specialist, then?
I was about to say that in general... It is far worse to use things that are not true because the blowback is worse and harder to sort out than telling the truth to begin with.
That's interesting. Well, let's dovetail into the subject of your book, which I find fascinating, and I highly recommend it to our listening audience. I've only had a chance to really skim through it. I can't wait to dive into it, in a very intense way. I do like the way you've supplied a summary at the end of each chapter. That really did help my research process, only having the book for a couple days. But one of the things that you mentioned in here is you take the whole field of ufology and you do a very dispassionate, objective breakdown of all the various misconceptions, pop culture myths. And you just do a brilliant job, and I really mean this, and I'm not stroking you here. You did an excellent job of looking at various aspects of this field and just explaining the reality as you see it. And I think, obviously we could go quite a we could do several shows on these various areas that you cover, but what – I sum up for us the extent of official and unofficial knowledge within the government about UFOs and possibly explain why you have come to the conclusion that there really is nothing to disclose, for instance, that we're dealing with a set of information that's spread all throughout government and that there is no super secret controlling entity that seems to be holding on to all these UFO secrets and crash saucers and alien bodies and the like. I think that's a good place to start.
But before he goes there, hold that thought, Dr. Alexander, because we have to tell our listeners if you have a question or a comment about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. We promise we do read each and every letter, and we respond to most of it. And there's one more thing. We have a forum at forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com. That's where you can have online discussions with the rest of our listeners. Just sign up and get involved in all the action. Dr. John Alexander joins us. The book is UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's LeCig.com. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeCig.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We're back with Dr. John Alexander. The subject on the table relates to the book UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities. So, Dr. Alexander, Chris posed a very multifaceted question there with all sorts of permutations. So, you have the floor. We'd like to have your answer.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I call my book, UFOs for People with Common Sense. And, as I said earlier, in this area of the conspiracy theory, and I find many of the ufologists, if you will, just as closed-minded as the skeptics or debunkers, if
debunkers.
You will. Yeah, they've made up their mind as to what, and then only accept facts that fit their theory. No, what I found is, and what I say is, when I say no cover-up, that does not mean there aren't people who get told to sit down and be quiet from time to time. But in my view, there is no overall conspiracy. One of the things I used to describe is good news and bad news. The good news is the government's been telling you the truth, albeit badly from time to time. The bad news is the government's telling you the truth. The reality is they just don't care. Now, I do think that, let's take Bentwaters as a specific example, because that's one where I think, I'm sure, low-level enlisted men and some even, NCOs were interrogated and told, be quiet, don't ever talk about this again. Conversely, Colonel Halt, who was the deputy base commander, there was no such admonition or even interviews or anything else. And in fact, when he was about to retire and was getting debriefed on a series of secret programs, this is a classified program across the board, and he even asked about, well, what about Bentwaters, and said the response was he just laughed. So the point is that I think the investigators have heard the same rumors that everybody else, and it's easier to just tell people don't talk about it than it is to sort it out. I use an example here in a different field, but I was at a meeting at the Office of Secretary of Defense, staff officers, fairly senior, responding to a snowflake from Rumsfeld, and read the classified documents and asked them, I said, what is secret about this? I mean, this is newspaper kind of stuff. And they said, yes, it's just easier to classify everything than it is to figure out what we should protect. And so, and this has led to a lot of the conspiracies in many, many areas, is the government's propensity to over-classify things.
They're taking the path of least resistance. If we don't understand it or it requires more than a modicum of work, classify it and maybe just out of sight, out of mind.
Oh, well, I do address the issue what I call too tough to handle. They say, for instance, the some of the northern tier sightings, and particularly the ones at Malmstrom, you know, where the missiles were shut down, definitely happened. And I think they looked at it, couldn't figure out it was. And then, so what they did is say, well, we'll just wait. And if it doesn't happen again, it's gone away. So for right now, it's in too tough to handle. Just won't bother to address it. And that is prevalent in many, many areas.
Well, picking up on that, we've had some pretty high-profile persons come forward over the years, like, for instance, Colonel Philip Corso, and his claims, quite to the contrary, that there is crash-retrieved and back-engineered technology projects going on, that there are dead aliens. Now, I do understand that the role of his co-author may have sort of prettied up, jazzed up, and beefed up some of the book, and I think Corso did have some was a little dismayed about that. And I do know that you talked to him about this. What do you make of someone like a Philip Corso who comes forward and refutes basically what you're asserting about the government's role in all this?
Yep, I understand that. I knew Phil before, during, and after the book coming out. I was with him 2 weeks before he died to address some of these issues. In my book, I have an Appendix A is a letter that I sent to him, which is a series of 90-some errors. And they run from little things like it's Adelphi, Maryland, not Adelphia, to huge things like, no, the Cold War was not a cover for fighting E.T. There's two problems. One is his book did get very wide distribution, probably the best UFO book from a sales perspective that has been out there. And conversely, if you look at the various technologies that he claimed, not a shred of evidence to support any of the technological claims. You can look at the history of each of the technologies involved, from fiber optics to integrated circuitry to night
Velcro.
Vision.
And, Velcro, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. And we know exactly how that was developed. If he were right, you would assume at some point what you do is you see a big bump. That just doesn't happen.
Well, what about, for instance, the whole idea of crash retrievals and or something like MJ-12? Now, Bob Woods, who I know you've known for many years, has been involved in, I think he was one of the Advanced Theoretical Physics Group members. He's been involved in ufology for years. Of course, he's ex-aerospace, high up in aerospace. Why would someone like Bob Wood and his son Ryan be so enamored with the whole idea of crash retrievals enough to put on a conference every year about this subject?
Well, both friends, I've known the senior, you know, Bob Wood for decades. There are certain areas where we agree to disagree. He's certainly done a lot of work, you know, in the supposed manual, which he now even suggests was not really a government manual for recovering ETs, but was real, but designed to fool the Soviets. You know, it talked about formal disinformation that was aimed at an adversary at the time.
Well, similar to the MJ-12 documents. The MJ-12 documents, he's taken the ball and run with them.
Yeah. Well, as we know, the MJ-12 documents per se have been... I think thoroughly discredited across the board. That would be my position on it, and certainly that of the archives. They've actually been able to find some documents that have, you know, the body, the text, and that sort of thing. And then, you know, a couple of changes in it, and the document reappears as MJ-12, which is a different discussion.
Well, you know what, you raised it here, so let's just dive in very quickly, and we'll get back to some of the other issues. Okay, so we have the MJ-12 documents. You have a document that somebody, an independent party, a hoaxer or whatever, took this document and fabricated the MJ-12 documents from it? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. That's conventional wisdom. You know, I do a comparison in my presentation that has to do with Watergate and MJ-12.
Watergate and MJ-12?
Yeah, exactly. If you look at how Watergate evolved, when you had Felt, you know, who really was the deputy director of the FBI, putting out information, we're talking about all the president's men now. And that information, how that came out.
Sure.
And
So
you had Felt going to the Washington Post, et cetera, et cetera. He was known. The Washington Post, a huge journal, has resources, puts the information out. They go to who? You did what? You drop something in the mail and maybe somebody will pick it up, and they have no resources and they're unknown. And I mean, that just defies common sense. And that's why I said the book is, when you follow these things through and say, how would you do that or why would you do it? It makes no sense at all.
Well, do you think maybe, and this is something that we'll have to carry through our next segment, that this is all planned, deliberate, or just a bunch of fortunate or unfortunate accidents that allow these so-called conspiracies to happen? Ponder that question for a moment. Our guest is Dr. John Alexander. The book is called UFOs, Myths, Conspiracies, and Realities, and I think we're focusing a lot on the latter two. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.